All right. Good evening. Yes, that's true. Good evening. This is Noreen Sumter on Beyond Potential. Live life your way. And tonight, oh God, tonight it's so wet. It's so sticky. And I'm just barely surviving the city. Right. I was just having some on the way here. I'm at the subway station and I realized that I've forgotten my wallet. Right. And I was just saying, you know, I live to swipe. I'm a stalker swiper. Right. I literally will be coming through the I love that word. I'll be coming through the subway and I'll see somebody standing there and I'm like, do you need a swipe? Right. And they'll be like, yeah. And so I'll swipe them. But my favorite people to swipe are young boys, like young boys who are trying to jump the turnstile. I'm like, no, stop that. I'll swipe you. And they usually look at me like in shock. Are you crazy, lady? Yeah, I'll swipe you because I'd rather swipe you than have you jump the turnstiles, get caught by that little cop that's standing on the corner, waiting to give you a ticket, waiting to do a search on you, and waiting to have you arrested. That stuff stays on your record. So I'm like the stalker swiper. So now coming through the subway tonight, I'm like, I don't even think about it two times. I'm just like, oh, I need a swipe. So there's somebody coming in. The majority of people have like these unlimited cards. So I always get a swipe. So that's probably what I'll do on the way back home tonight. Just like,
swipe,
you know,
for free.
It's no, somebody will swipe me for free. It's my night to be swiped because I don't have a way to get back home. Well, I could always call a via, but you know, I'd rather do a swipe. So tonight I have Tamika Jeffrey on the line, and I met Tamika. What, how many weeks ago was that? 3 weeks ago? 4 weeks ago?
About four weeks ago?
Yes, I met Tamika at 4 weeks ago at an event. She was sitting on a panel, and it was a panel of small business people, and she was just so vivacious and vibrant. Tamika! You know, it was like the Tamika show. She'll probably do it tonight. She'll probably get into her thing and do it tonight. So Tamika is a recruiter. And she informed me that there are 2.3 million jobs in New York City. There are like, what, 8 to 10 million people in New York City, right? So it's like 2.3 million jobs. What kinds of jobs are these? But before you answer that question, okay, I need you to introduce yourself. Tell us who you are, where you come from. Well, you know, just a little bit about you, and then we'll go into the whole kit and caboodle.
Okay, first, so, Noreen, I am so excited to be here, and I'm so excited that I know you have a wait list and you pushed me above others. I know this for a fact.
Did Kelly spill the tea, as they say?
So I am Tamika Jeffrey, and I come from Cincinnati, Ohio. I've been here for about 13 years. I actually moved here to write business plans. Uh-huh. So that dream fizzled quickly when the rent was due.
Okay.
And then I started, this is so funny, but I started working at El Al Airlines, where I was one of the only Black first class reservation agents. Uh-huh. And from that point on, I really got a grasp of what New York City is and what there is. It's a melting pot. So I decided to just dive in. I became an executive assistant. I was helping others, and then I knew that I can build my own brand, so I started to do that, and I was selling exotic jewelry, and I was selling exotic hair extensions, and I was also attending Baruch, mm-hmm, which was great. That's another melting pot, and there I just learned how to deal with people, mm-hmm, and how to network and how to find out what your goals are. And I put all those things together. And when I was going to graduate, my mentor said, what do you want to be? And I said, I want to be a recruiter. And it was funny because she replied with, no one wants to be a recruiter. And I'm like, yes, I do.
I did that for 18 months.
Right? Yeah. I do. I know how to find individuals and I know how to pull out what's the best in them. And I did that. And so I started out at Cushman & Wakefield. And there I learned how to match the candidate with the position. But you'll also find in this world that a lot of people, they just take a career and they're either not ready for that career or that's not really what they want to do. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to dive more into recruiting and not just putting the puzzle together. I wanted to make the puzzle.
Right.
And so that's what I did. And I started working at Leslie Silver and Associates, where my time there has been... it's just been really astonishing to see how many companies need great people mm-hmm. and how many people want to be at a great company.
Okay.
And so that's where I started diving in and where a career breakthrough in how I became the director of recruiting. This is where it all came from. And
so you
now I'm doing exactly what I love to do.
So you came to New York to become a business plan writer, and that fizzled. Right. But is that like what you actually set out to do? Or is this
So this is how I say it. Even though it was writing business plans, I've always been an individual that loves to help other individuals.
Right.
And I've also, some people would say, I've always been an individual that comes up with a plan.
Right.
If this is not working, I'm going to find something else that works for me. And I've just always been like that. I'm the youngest of seven from my mother and father. So... it just happened to be where you have to fit in where you can get in. And, you know.
I'm the middle child of seven.
We'll talk about that. The middle children.
Oh, come on. I mean, you know what I like about being a middle child? It was that you kind of get left alone. You know, mm-hmm. you kind of get left to do your own thing. Nobody's really looking for you. They're looking for the oldest and they're looking for the youngest. And they're never looking for the one in between.
Okay,
but like I found that being the one in between, I could get away with a lot of things. I could make a lot of mayhem that nobody knew about. And I could always get what I wanted because I kind of figured out how to get things moving. And you're never bored because you've always got an older brother or sister to talk to or a younger brother or sister to talk to.
Well, and being in the middle... always has a therapist. I know that to be true. That's
well, I've been to therapists. And they've been like, you don't need a therapist. And I'm like, well, I just need somebody to talk to. They're like, no, you don't. You know, so that's it. So tell me, when I was a recruiter, there were a lot of individuals that came in who just looked a complete and utter mess. Mm. And are you one of these people that you'll fix them from the ground up, from the top to the bottom?
Well, yes. I'm also one of those persons that when you come into my office, this is why I had to create Career Breakthrough so I can have another outlet for me to talk to you, because I'm spending an hour with you when I'm really supposed to be spending 15 minutes because right. I feel that there are so many.
Oh, you're like the doctors.
I am.
Because at the doctor's, you only get 15 minutes. But if your doctor likes you, it gives you half an hour.
Right. That's me. And I seem to like everyone.
Right.
So, right? You know, I like everyone. So when they come in, I know that there are jobs for each person.
Right.
Right. There's a match out there for every individual. And yes, we have over 7 million jobs available. Mm-hmm. And the reason,
in the country, right?
In the country.
Right.
And the reason why is because each individual is not in their desired space. They're
right.
in a space just to pay their bills. They're in a
right.
space just to have a job. And
right.
a job is just over broke.
Right.
So really, they're just each week trying to get a paycheck.
Right.
And if each person strives to be in their desired career path,
mm-hmm.
we wouldn't have this many jobs available.
Right.
And not only that, it comes to be who is researching, who is looking over these resumes.
Right.
Right. So it all depends on how she feels that day when she's reading the resume.
Well, when I was a recruiter, a lot of those resumes ended up in the garbage. Because my coworkers used to throw the resumes in the garbage. Rather than help the person rewrite the resume and have a conversation with them, they would just throw them in the garbage.
Well, that takes a long time to help them rewrite a resume. Writing a resume, number one, is a art,
mm-hmm.
right? But all you need is the...
We're dining here.
Yes, it's hot. All you need.
Are the windows open?
No, I have
the air conditioner. Because we're chocolate, so we give off a lot of heat.
I try to put sparkles on my face, and they're just melting. The
sparkles
away.
Are gone, honey. There is no sparkle. There's a drip. So go ahead.
Okay, so when you're writing a resume, you need the information. And where does it stem from? It stems from when you graduated from college, when you were in college, your career advisor. Now you have to think, where did she get that information? Right. She or he get that information right. from? And it all depends on who was their career advisor. Right. So it all trickles down. And it takes time for you to really grasp the idea of what your resume should look like. And right. what I tell everyone is the way that you get there is you first find out what you want to be.
Right.
And your resume is just a guide to where you're going to be.
Right. So how do you guide people? I mean, I know how I guide people to look at their lives and look at what's important to them as mm-hmm. a personal life coach. But how do you do that as a, do you need a nap tissue?
Yes, please.
It's can like you, tissue, burning. Please? That's the new mantra. Tissue, please. So how do you guide people to, you know, find the career that they want or the job that they want?
I let them guide themselves.
Yeah, but you how know. Do you help them look it through, work it through?
So I first start out with the roles that you've already had. Mm-hmm. Why are you choosing these roles?
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Why are you choosing these roles? And then what does the role add? How does it add value to yourself?
Mm-hmm.
You first have to find out what's adding value to yourself before you can add value to a company.
Mm-hmm.
And you first have to bring out all of your best benefits. So my daughter is 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
She already has a resume.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell this to all parents right now. And the reason why she has a resume is because she's able to look back on her strengths from nine. She's mm-hmm. only in the fourth grade. But she's able to look back on her strengths, things that she liked, and that's what we should be doing now.
Right.
Don't look at what's going to give you that job or what's going to give you that next paycheck. Look at what's going to make you create a career.
Right.
And so the way that I do that is I first tell them, if you're at a job right now, they have to give you a job description.
Mm-hmm.
Take those bullet points that they give you and match it to the role that you want.
Mm-hmm.
Once you find the role that you want, now let's put these two together. It's again, it's creating your own puzzle, but let's put these two together and come up with a way to.
Do you need the mic up? Oh, 2 minutes. Okay, go ahead.
And come up with a way to create it where you don't look frazzled. Your resume doesn't look like you're just all over the place. We call those jumpers.
Right.
It doesn't look like you're here for a year and there for a year.
Does that really matter today? Because I don't
know. It really matters.
I don't know how, because I know back in the day, I'm, you know, quite mature. You know, if you had a year on a resume, that's good. Or a year or two on a resume, that was good. But today, with the advent of people being able to create their own positions, their own jobs, take care of their own selves, how does that, like, do people still want you to have tenure
Definitely.
On a job?
We want to see that you're able to stay on a job. You can't stay here 1 year. You have no stability. If you're here 1 year and another place another year, you have no stability.
Okay.
What company is willing to invest in you? Then it all depends on how much you are looking, how much you want to invest in yourself. So what is the salary that you're looking for? If you're mm-hmm. looking for that minimum wage salary, I don't know what minimum wage is, but if you're
15.
You're looking for that salary, I don't think they should, I don't know. But if you're looking for that salary, which how can you maintain your life on that?
Right.
There's no way that you can be a jump. You can't have 1 year here and 1 year there. It's not, you're not going to succeed.
Okay, let's hold that thought and let's take a break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
So we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, and we're speaking to Mika Jeffrey from Leslie Silva, which is a recruiting company. And she's talking about recruiting jobs. There are 2.3 million jobs in New York City. And we have here Alicia Censorini. She said, yes, it matters. And that probably was to my response about longevity and staying on a job in the advent of people are creating their own positions. And she said consistency and longevity is the key. And you can call in if you'd like and have a conversation
Please call in.
So you were saying now, we were talking about resumes, and one of the interns here has a job in a cupcake shop, right? Not factory. Cupcake factory, right? And so Tamika was saying that she should have that on a resume, and my intern was like, no, she doesn't put it on a resume because that's not her long-term goal. So please speak to that.
So I would say yes, put it on the resume. Mm-hmm. As I was telling her, it's about multitasking and showing that you are, it's the same as if you had a full-time role, but mm-hmm. you were interning somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Your internship, it's a free internship, but you're there to learn. So mm-hmm. maybe she's there and she's learning more about teamwork, more about working together. Mm-hmm. That's great. They're going to ask anyway, what are you doing with your time? This is another way to say I do a little extra on the side. I would say put it on. To speak on the longevity, I just want to just jump to this longevity. Mm-hmm. What is longevity? So to me, I tell everyone, you don't want to stay at a company for 5, 6, 7, 10, 15 years.
Unless.
What is the unless?
What if you are on a job 5, 10, 15 years and every year you're moving up and you're growing?
That's different. I mean, that's kind of the same. And the reason why I'm going to tell you that is because even if you're there and you're growing, now it's time to leave. You've been there 15 years, mm-hmm. right? And that's great for you and your income and your household and your tenure at this role. So you come to me and you want me to put you into another role mm-hmm. that another company, and they look at you and they say, listen, you are so acclimated to their culture. I don't know if you'll be able to acclimate to our culture because you've been there for so long. It's mm-hmm. like being stalemate. Now you have to get out and try to find more. And plus, you stop growing mentally when you're at a company for 15 years. It's just every day you just wake up like a robot and do the same thing every day. I would tell anyone that's climbing the ladder, like if they're giving you a promotion that's exceeding everything else, and that's one thing. But when you're climbing a ladder, it's best to climb in a different job. Somewhere for 3, 4 years, another place for 3, 4 years. That's how you're climbing the ladder.
Time has really changed, right? Because people used to stay on jobs like 30 years. We have a caller on here. So where are the headphones for Tamika?
Leslie Silver is calling in.
Oh, The lady, Leslie, can, do we have, oh, do we have headphones for Tamika? Yes, there you go.
I'm so excited.
We have a good amount of callings tonight. See, it's good to be a recruiter. So, hi, Alyssa. You're on the
hi.
Line. Now I feel like Kramer.
Hi, Alyssa.
You're on the line.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you ladies doing?
We're doing really well. So you made a comment that consistency and longevity is the key. You hire people. So what are you looking for?
So yes, I work. I have a nanny placement service in New York City. So I am constantly interviewing and going through resumes and working with domestic workers on creating, you know, their longevity in their careers just because of it being such a saturated industry. I mean, every industry deals with their thing. But I think regardless, I mean, consistency and longevity for any resume is more appealing than somebody who is a jumper.
Correct.
And that is so common in our industry, the domestic workers. But I think there's so many different things that contribute to that, you know, that makes it difficult for a lot of great candidates to be consistent, even if they're trying.
So if you were looking for a nanny and she spent 15 years, well, I don't know, 15 years, that's a freaking long time, right?
A nanny...
Is that
a different thing, or is that...
It's definitely a different thing.
Yes.
So is that a good thing, though? Like if a nanny's 15 years with one family? I would think it was a great thing.
I think it's a great thing. A nanny is a different story.
It's a different...
Because they start with the child, and then if they can grow with the child to their 13, 14 years, I definitely want them.
Right.
Because now they're going to start over.
Exactly.
Right, so that's a different industry.
Oh, okay. So it's for, because I'm looking at overall, so you're looking at as different industries have different expectations.
But, you know, just to speak to what you had mentioned before, the culture can be different, just like it can be different in any home.
Correct.
So somebody who's with a family for 15 years might have no idea how to work with any other family.
Correct.
That experience. Or it could have molded them into this dynamic, you know, candidate because they've worked with children throughout all of their developmental stages and they've, you know, sent children to college.
Awesome.
Some parents love that on the resume and some parents don't. You know, every person is different in what they're looking for in their home, but the resume is, I feel your pain because sometimes it's very difficult to help people get their resumes together. I meet nannies that have incredible experience and they have never seen a resume because they're referred from parent to parent.
Correct.
And, you know, they don't get the representation that they need.
Mm.
So I work with a lot of those candidates.
Not only that, but no one shows them how to write this resume so that they can receive more. And sometimes they think this is all that they can get. And that's a sign.
And that's why I appreciate, I love what you're doing. I appreciate it because, like, I spend hours with women just trying to help them. And I've been doing it for years and I'll never stop.
Awesome.
I commend you for putting in the same amount of time and effort and just humans. It's so important that people are doing this today.
Great.
Because everything's technology. Go online, Google a resume.
So
it just
thank you.
Work that way.
Thank you, Alyssa. Thank you for calling in. I really appreciate
you,
your
Alyssa.
Opinion and your
too.
Thoughts. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. Thank you, ladies.
You're welcome. So now we have the Queen Bee herself.
The Queen Bee.
I've never met you, but I've heard a lot about you. So welcome
Hi,
to the
Noreen.
Show.
Can you hear me, Noreen?
Absolutely. Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Can you hear us?
Okay, yeah, I can hear you.
So you're responsible for the hiring of this fine lady here.
Absolutely. And Tamika came in and sold me on her with her personality.
That's easy, right?
and her drive and her skill set and, you know... and I gave her an opportunity to prove herself, and, you know, she's done just that.
Right.
And, you know, what, you know, Tamika's been sort of shy to say is, you know, we deal with these high-powered executives.
Oh, I don't think Tamika's shy to say anything. she just hasn't gotten there yet.
That have very little tolerance for job hoppers,
mm-hmm.
one. You know, these clients call in and they want to spend a lot of money hiring this person, and they're looking for tenure, longevity, stability. Can you hear me?
Yes.
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 We're so, mesmerized by you, so we're quiet.
High-powered clients are looking for these talented women or men to come in and, you know, sell them as to why they're going to be the people that save their lives every single day.
Right.
And so, you know, Tamika sits with these people and helps to guide them with their resume, their interviewing techniques. We've actually created an online document that send candidates on, you know, we call it the do's and don'ts list of things that you should and shouldn't do on an interview. So, you know, we really, and Tamika particularly, takes a lot of time with these candidates to get them up to speed, to be able to get in front of these clients and actually interview to the best potential.
Right. So what was it that, what is it that people are looking for today in terms of what are they actually looking for? Because you're looking for tenure, but what's the what's the kicker that gets people in the door?
Energy, personality, positive
communication.
Attitude. It's the work ethic, Noreen. You know, today we have a lot of millennials who come see us, and I don't need to tell you about these millennials today.
But I love them.
They certainly don't have the same work ethic that, you know, I have. You know, I'm doing this for 30 years. It's a very long time. You know, these, you know, quote, kids come in and, you know, they want ping pong tables. They want to know if they can work from home. They want to work remotely. They want to know how long they get for lunch. Are they going to be beer parties after work? It's a very different.
Yeah, but can I want to speak to that, right? Because I'm going to say I love millennials, right? Uh-huh. And why do I love millennials? Because they know what they want, right? These are the things that they want. And maybe just that we at that time, 30 years ago, were afraid to ask for these things, right? I think a lot of them are very smart.
Well, they are changing the game.
Yeah, they're game changers. And I wouldn't want them to be like me when I was their age. I want them to be the way they are. I believe that they have choices. They have so much more choices than we do, so they don't have to settle.
Yeah. And
am
that's
I right,
true.
Guys?
And that's true. But Noreen, they may be the ones that will constantly be the job hoppers.
Okay. There it is.
And so I don't know what the future is gonna look like for them.
Mm-hmm. It would be a series of they'll all be job hoppers.
Correct. You know, if they don't get a foundation, you know, if they feel like there's always something better tomorrow, then they're not going to be the ones that are going to form a foundation that are going to be our future leaders, because they're never going to stay put. So I think that there's, you know, there's positive and negative. I mean, look what the internet is, how the internet has changed the world.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, everything is so fast today. Everything's moving so quickly. You know, information is right at your fingertips. You know, it's all moving so fast.
Right.
So we need these, you know, kids, so to speak, to invest time and stay with an organization and build themselves. Now, I'm not the one, I will not say that if you're in the wrong profession that you shouldn't get out. I believe you should get out and find what makes you happy. Because you're only going to be successful if you're doing something that makes you happy.
That's right.
Okay? Okay, and I believe in that. I believe so many people are in jobs where they're unhappy.
Right.
Okay, and they shouldn't stay in them. You know, it's like the woman who stays in a marriage where she's unhappy.
Right.
I don't believe that should happen. Right? I mean, we've got so much of this stuff going on, the Me Too movement. Women are, you know, want to grow. Women want to, like, break that glass ceiling. You know, and they're moving and they're shaking, and I'm very pro-women. You might hear that from my voice.
Yeah, but, and you know, what's really good about that is that, like, you've got my brain going. I'm thinking of, what can I have Leslie come and talk to? You know, so, Leslie, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back, okay?
Go ahead. Take care. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
The best designs for your life start at home. I'm David Thiergartner, interior designer and host of At Home. Listen live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk to the very best professionals about interior design and the design that's all around us, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Brother are
okay, and we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, and I'm speaking to Tamika Jeffrey of Leslie Silver
and Associates,
and Associates, and we have Leslie Silver on the line. So thank you for calling it. One of the things that I
yeah, you still here?
Are you still there?
I'm still here, but I'm going to let somebody else chime in.
One of the questions that I want to ask is what does it cost actually? What does it cost a company today to actually hire or purchase, basically, a staff member coming from your company, a recruit?
What do you mean? What
like
does it cost?
When I was a recruiter at Manpower, Brook Street, it was 1% per 1,000. So we'd get, I think it was 1% of every 1,000 that it cost to have a staff member. You know, that companies had to pay for these staff members.
So we charge 25 to 20% of your first year's of the candidate's first year salary.
Right.
And Leslie would say this is not enough.
Right.
Because we put a lot of work into finding this candidate. It's nothing that you can do. You cannot look on ZipRecruiter and Indeed. It's far beyond that.
Right.
You have to look into the candidate. You have to make sure that this candidate matches this role, because we do not get paid if you are not, like, if this candidate does
not last.
So we make sure that the candidate that we're given is not fabricated.
Right.
What would you say, Leslie?
I would agree. I mean, I think that, you know, we take the risk away, Noreen. You know, it costs money to hire people. It costs money to fire people. So, you know, we save people money by, you know, minimizing the risk.
Right.
And, you know, that's what our job is. You know, my motto, and I teach anybody who, you know, has ever worked for me in the 30 years, I say every day, we save lives and we change lives every day.
Right.
And we take that executive and we actually make him calm. We build the confidence that we're going to take this on and fix it. You know, we have executives that call us that are like, ready to jump off the ledge because their assistant has just resigned.
Right.
And, you know, they make billion-dollar decisions every day, but when it comes to hiring an assistant, they just can't do it. So, you know, we hold their hand every step of the way. And, you know, one of the other things that I always tell Tamika to talk about when she's speaking is that, you know, we basically place the little guy that helps the big guy go.
Right.
So these big guys, these CEOs of Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan Chase and all these other big organizations cannot survive without a top talent and top tier executive assistant. It can't.
Right.
You know, somebody has to manage their life, and that's what the executive assistant does.
Right. Manage their life. Absolutely. So one of the questions, so back in the day, there used to be like, so you'd get a person, you'd send them out on the first interview, then they'd get a second interview. If they got the second interview, it was maybe like a touch and go between them and another person, right? Which it used to be like the fun thing, right? Because it's like, ah, that person's in. And then it'd be like, are they going to get the job? And then they would know on like pretty much a third, you know, if they got a third interview, it was to let them know that they've gotten the job. Has it changed? Because what I'm hearing
definitely
on the outside is that people are going for what, 4 and 5 interviews and things like that.
Seven. How about 7?
Yeah, we have one that's going
tell
for 7.
Tell me, baby. Tell me.
So, yeah, we have one that's going for 7. Like, this is his 7th one. But I would tell you as well, it all depends because this is a communication business.
Right.
So it's all how you communicate when you first go in. If you right. go in and they can tell that you're a star, it can be on the 2nd where they're like, you know what? We just love her. We don't want to see anyone else.
Right.
So I can't really tell. But it has changed. It is. They are interviewing a lot of people. Again, so many jobs available. Right. And they feel like there's.
You know what, Noreen? Also,
they can pick from the litter.
The unemployment numbers are the lowest they have ever been. It's at 3%, which means it's very hard to hire people. Everybody's working.
Right.
So companies have to, we have to steal people from other companies, and that's kind of what we do, right? And so when that has
don't
also
tell our secrets.
Salaries higher and higher. So, you know, if there are less people in the marketplace, companies have to pay more, or they have to pay their existing employees more to retain them.
Right.
So we find more and more counteroffers happening. Companies are saying, oh my God, my person wants to leave. Mm-hmm. How am I going to fill the job? It's going to take me forever. It's going to cost me more money to refill the job. Let me just offer her more money. So we see a lot of that going on in the marketplace today too.
And I find that what you just said, it sounds like it's a universal situation, because I was just in London and I was listening to the news and they were saying that unemployment is down tremendously, lowest since the 70s. And this is what I'm hearing you're saying as well. And what I'm, are you finding that it's, you know, what I saw in London was there were people going back to the work world. There were retirees that were going back to the work world.
Yeah.
There were stay-at-home mothers. Their children are now in school. They're going back to the work world.
Yeah.
Is that what's going on?
Yes. I would say, I would say it's more of people transitioning into the career they wanted.
Right.
So before, it was just getting a job. And now they're like, you know what? This is not what I want to do. I want to be. Yeah. You find a lot of teachers that are like, I don't want to teach anymore.
Right, right.
I would love to be in the corporate world. Right. So they're transitioning and trying to get into the corporate world. So you see a lot of them wanting to get out of that.
We have a lot of that.
A lot of nurses.
But Maureen, that's what Tamika just said. We have a lot of teachers who come in and they don't want to teach. It's unfortunate, okay, because we're losing good teachers. Mm-hmm. But they don't want to teach. And we put them in to be executive receptionists in corporate America where they have growth potential.
Right.
And, you know, what better person to sit at the front desk and deal with people's problems than a teacher?
Right.
Right? I mean, she's now dealing with adult complainers and not children.
Right.
You know, so these companies love hiring teachers. You know, they're very disciplined and, you know, they know right from wrong and they love to hire those people to sit at the front desk.
Good. There's a topic that I want to speak on, and that is age, right? Because I've also been hearing people say, well, they don't want to hire me because that, you know, I'm not this young, sprightly girl anymore. And, you know, I've got some gray or whatever. I'm not as vibrant looking as I was once. Yeah. So what is going on with that?
We have a lot of that. I mean, I should let Tamika speak to that. But
right. But I want to transition into interviewing. Mm-hmm. I think what happened with that as well is that they're so set in their ways. Mm-hmm. And this is where interviewing comes in at. We talked about the do's and don't list that we have. But they're so set in their ways that now it's time, you know, I want to get back into the workforce. I want to do this. I want to transition to this. But the interviewing process is the hardest process for them. Because it's how do you interview? It's not the same way that you think.
And Noreen, speaking to that as well, resumes that come in to us that have a date that starts in 1980, we tell the candidate that
to take it off.
They have to take it off because companies are saying, we want to hire someone with 5 to 10 years experience. Don't give me 30 years, Leslie. We're not going to see the person.
Right.
You know, so here's a person who walks in with 30 years. Well, you know, what does that say to the client? The client already is thinking she's A, walking with a cane, B, she has no technical skills, C, she has no idea what social media is, she couldn't tweet if she wanted to, or her life depended on it, right? So they're, it's called ageism. They're aging these people up.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and it's happening, big time.
So the interviewing, so they have,
They
have to learn how to interview.
They have to.
Right.
Because, and that is a skill in itself, right? Because as I just spoke on the communication portion of it, some people feel that they can just go in there and they...
Their resume speaks for itself, their experience speaks for itself.
And what they do is they go down their resume and they just replay back to you, you know, vomit back to you what's on their resume, and this is who I am. And we try to show them, I know I definitely try to show them, that it's a conversation.
Absolutely.
So when you go in there, it's not really, your resume is your first interview. People don't.
Resume is like, the first interview, that's the one that opens the
door.
Right. It doesn't speak back. So it has to answer all of their questions to make them say, you know what? I want to meet them.
Right.
And then they come in.
Yeah.
And then they come in and they can't speak to you. Hmm. It's like my resume was everything. No, it's not everything. Right. That's just a portion of it. So what I like to tell people is don't put everything on your resume. Because if I can read everything on your resume, why bring you in?
Right.
Save a portion of that so that you can have that conversation when you come in.
So what are some of the things that you'd like them, like interviewing, what are some of the things that you would like them to talk about?
I would like them to talk about. So I have one question that I tell people you should use. And it's like, so tell me about yourself. And the way that I would reverse that is I would say, well, I can't really talk about myself. But if you were to ask 15 or 20 people that know me personally or professionally, I think they would say I'm, and then give strong words. Don't give words like I'm funny, I'm a team player. These are not great.
So if you ask me, you know, 10 things about myself, so you can interview me. So I would say that, like, I'm very loyal, right? I'm extremely loyal. My brain's gone now.
I'm going to tell you how you get these words.
Go ahead.
Because you don't have to use your brain like that.
Go ahead.
What you can do is look up the mission statement on this company website.
Right. I am a team player, though.
Look up the mission statement. Also, Google their press releases.
Okay.
See what they are about and what the outside world is saying.
Research.
Right. But you can't research through Google. You can't just put the name of the company in there and then get what they know and go in there and say
no,
the exact
No, I usually want to see what fires they had to put out, what problems they had,
Correct.
What challenges
and
they
what,
had.
Right. Yeah. And now you speak on yourself if you are a problem solver for these problems.
Right.
And that's the best way to sell yourself.
I can think on my feet. I can seriously think on my feet.
Correct. You know. Adaptable is a great word.
Exactly.
Because they want to know that you can go from this culture into another culture and still keep the beat. It's not like you have to retrain me. I'm going to come in and I'm going to be the exact replica of what you envision that role to have.
Right.
I'm going to be that person.
Right. And so what if I said to them, like, I'm telling you a little bit about yourself. I'd like to hear a little bit about your company and what you're committed to and what you want. Is that a problem?
It's not a problem. You do sound very bold. Like,
I am bold.
So, well, you're different.
Well, I can sound bold.
Yeah, Noreen, you're different.
I would say I'm bold. I'm audacious.
Bodacious?
Audacious.
Right. Yeah. Confidence is the key.
Mm-hmm.
Confidence is the key, but you don't want to be vain is not the key.
Right.
So just go in there. You want to know what the company has to offer.
No, I want to know what the company is all about.
Right. We have a candidate that they want to know what is all the benefits. What are the benefits you're going to give?
Yeah, but I think that if you go into a large company, you know they're going to have good benefits, right? So that's like one of the things that I'd probably put to the background. I want to know what your missions. What are you up to? What are you guys really up to? What's the mission? What do you care about? What's important to you? Where are you growing?
What are the characteristics that you're looking for in a candidate?
Okay.
This helps you as well. It helps you moving forward. Maybe you don't get this role, but the next role, you've just learned some things that a company is looking for in a candidate. You can take that with you. And each, it's like a dating process. So each interview that you're on, it's on another date and another date. And it's until they give you that ring. And then you're like, oh, okay, now we're engaged.
Does it have a diamond in it? Like, what kind of diamond? Is it shiny or has it got inclusions?
Most of the time, they're CZs.
We're going to take a break. Leslie, stay with us. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Okay.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hi, I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Leslie, are you there? Can you hear us?
I'm here.
It's a pity you're not here with us. You'd be loving
it. I know,
too.
I'm sorry. I'm missing all the fun, Noreen.
I told Leslie you would be on. You said you weren't going to talk a lot. And you're
going to talk a lot. You're going to talk. Oh, my God.
I
it's so
funny.
I
said I wasn't going to talk to me. I said it was your show, not my show.
Well, it's our show. It's our show, you know.
Well,
two is great. Three is even better.
Exactly.
So, one of the areas that I'm really big on is diversity, right? And not just, you know, race and things like that, but also disabilities, right? Because now we have, oh, my God, we have so many people in the market who can ride in on their little roustabouts and they can... They can get in the subway and get on, you know, on the elevator. So now they can actually come to work, right, and be with us. So it's like the diversity thing with the race and stuff and the trans and all this kind of stuff. But we also have physical disabilities, right?
Right.
So
how about that one? How about the woman who won the Tony, right, for Oklahoma? Right, she came wheeling in on the Tonys in her.
It was the first time.
Oh, I didn't see that one. I've seen the fashion model that wheels in on her wheelchair in her fashion gear.
Yeah.
So I didn't see that, but
it's amazing.
Yeah. So I mean, I remember working on jobs, and there was the occasional blind person.
Occasional
was answering a phone or something, or you had the. Oh, actually, my first ever job in England when I was 16. I got a job as a telex operator. You can remember telexes, right?
Yeah,
and she was this girl, she was a thalidomide, so she had little tiny arms and, you know, no legs and prosthesis, and no fingers, just nubs. And she was like banging out this telex, and they said to me, do you think you'll be able to do that? And I was in my brain, I'm like, well, fuck, you know, she's got no fingers.
Right.
She's
right.
got no fingers, little tiny arms. I've got all my... you know, extremities. Of course I can do this. But she was actually the first person that I had ever experienced who had a disability that was working on a job. So I'm assuming, I don't know what it's really like. Is it becoming more, you know, prevalent?
I would not say so. I mean, it depends on what, like, our industry that we source for, our industries that we source for, they're high exec industry. Mm-hmm. So, when they hire an individual, they hire that individual knowing that they can take them everywhere.
Like,
they represent them.
Okay.
Right? So I wouldn't say the diversity as far as where you're going is there yet. I would say the diversity as far as gender and ethnicity is there. Right. But disability.
Although, Noreen, mm-hmm. I must say one thing. Tamika will chime in here. There is a male executive assistant that I've been trying to place for 6 months, Okay,
not mine.
Incredible credentials, you know, reasonably priced, very put together, intelligent. He cannot get a job.
What's missing?
And the problem I see is because he's a male. And when you're asking some of these male executives to hire another male to be somewhat subservient as their executive assistant and get them coffee and run errands and pick up their dry cleaning, amongst other tasks, that many of these men cannot ask a man to do that.
I got that. But what I've experienced is mostly, you know, I bumped into a guy who was doing that at Whole Foods. I saw him taking pictures of the food, and I'm like, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm taking pictures of the food." I said, "For who?" He goes, "My boss." I said, "Is it a woman?" And he was like, "Yes." So I said, she didn't know what she wanted. She said, "No, go get me some food." And he had to take pictures. I was like, is this really the Devil Wear Prada? Or
sounds normal.
This is part of their job, Normie.
Right.
I mean, some of these people hire personal assistants, which are, they handle all the personal aspects of their life.
Right.
And it could be anything from gift buying to watching their children by babysitting to washing their underwear by hand. You can't imagine the task. That, you know, making their hairdresser appointments when they're on their treadmill at 3 in the morning. You can't imagine what these personal assistants have to do.
So this is a personal assistant. This is not like a system that you work for with the company. Because your company...
It's a personal assistant.
Right. Yeah. So who pays for the personal assistant? Does the executive or does the company?
The executive.
Both. Sometimes both.
Well, the company, yeah, of course. But it's on the executive budget.
Right. So does this person... work for, like, let's just say ABC company. So the executive works for ABC company and the assistant works for the person.
Correct.
But sometimes they don't. Yes, sometimes no. Sometimes it's on the payroll of the company. He's the CEO. He can put it
on his budget.
Know,
on
the budget and on the payroll. And so this person acts typically as the personal assistant to him and his wife. And so the wife doesn't have time to take care of her errands. So they hire a personal assistant to take care of her errands.
My brain can't compute. I can't compute.
How much time do we have left? Because I want to give some great information on resumes. Yes. I don't want to like just talk like this. I want to give them some information because I don't know the next time we'll be here. Yep. 5 minutes. Okay. So first I want to talk about the resume and how it should be set up.
Okay.
This is great information for them to know. Every individual can't visit us, but they should know this. So number one, the first thing that we see is everyone wants to put a summary on their resume. Mm-hmm. They want to say they've been in the industry for 20 plus years. We tell them all the time, take that off.
Right.
Don't put a summary and don't date yourself. So if you're saying that you've been in the industry for 20 years, I'm just going to say, okay.
Ageism.
Right. So you just became like, let's say you're an executive assistant and you became an executive assistant at 25 plus 20 more years. Now you're 45. How many more years do you have that you're going to be with this company? This is the way they look at it. So if anything, if you're changing, say you're an HR, human resource, and you want to change over, then put an objective. But the summary, I would just let it go.
Right. Okay. Summary gone.
Summary gone. Next, a lot of people put their education at the top of the paper. And not only do they put their education, but they put their education and their grade point average and all of these things.
And they've been out of college 40 years.
Right. They graduated in 1999.
Get rid of it.
It should be on the bottom of the page under your experience. Right now, what's going to shine is your experience.
Right.
When you put your experience, a great thing to know is that don't copy and paste from somewhere else, I guess, like Google or another resume.
So they copy and paste from a company. Actually
wants,
write it.
Right. The company wants to hire someone. If you're hiring an EA, they want to hire someone who has creative writing experience. Mm-hmm. So let's be creative. Don't duplicate it on each role that you have that you were, I don't know, Leslie, give me an example. You handled all their domestic and international travel, and you did their concur, and you put it on each role that you have. You can do the same thing, but you can't do the exact same thing at each company. So let's be creative. then if you're at a company for 10 years and you are elevated to the next level, you received a promotion, show that. And the way that you're going to show it is you're going to just keep the heading of the company, but you're going to show the different levels that you were at.
Right.
Next, okay, after your experience, you're then going to put your education. You don't have to put your grade point average. Just put the company, the school you graduated from, and the year you graduate. It's kind of tricky that if you did not graduate and you are lacking, like you have 3 credits left, but you did not graduate, don't say you graduated.
Right.
Just leave that alone, because they're going to, that falsification is going to kick you out, and it's going to make a company like us look bad.
Right, because you didn't do your due diligence.
Right, so that's why we have to do it, and we can't trust anyone that's that.
I know this. We've got like a few more minutes. So where can people get this information from? And how can people reach you? Somebody's out there looking for a job. They need to be, you know, upgraded. And you're the person to do it. Where can they reach you?
So they can reach me. I'm the director of Leslie Silver & Associates. So they can also reach me on LinkedIn, Tamika Jeffrey. That's T-E-A-M-I-K-A, Jeffrey.
Guys, get that?
And they can also reach me by emailing me at My Career Breakthrough. This is the seminar that I give, and they can always come. I give it every quarter at Morgan Stanley, and they can come for that as well if they want to receive more information on resume and interviewing. But I would say then for companies that are looking for great candidates and someone that's going to really source for them and not try to go on Indeed or Zip, then email me at tjeffrey@lsa5.com.
It's good to know that you still exist. We have one more minute.
And I would say to everyone that are looking for a job, I just want to give you this information that, well, a career, it is a career for everyone. Don't give up.
Right.
Don't have someone write your resume. You can really do it for yourself. And just make sure that your resume matches where you're trying to go and start building. And don't be a jumper.
So Leslie and Tamika, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for coming on the show tonight. This was really good. It went very quickly. And you people out there that are looking for positions, please check out Leslie Silver
and Associates.
And Associates. Tamika's that associate.
Yep, Associates.
Thank you very much, Noreen, for
You're
having
more than
me
welcome. Time. My pleasure. So bye, see you Leslie. Guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
The best designs for your life start at home. I'm David Thiergartner, interior designer and host of At Home. Listen live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk to the very best professionals about interior design and the design that's all around us, right here on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.